Hello, and I'm excited to be here today to present work my colleagues and I have done exploring the impact of medical and dental visits on smoking cessation. I'd like to thank my collaborators, as well as Tei-Wei Hu and Theodore Keeler for their contributions to this project. I'd also like to thank our funders, and we have nothing to disclose. The prevalence of smoking is higher than we would like. Indeed, over the last decade, the prevalence has decreased by only 2 percentage points. If we were to look at more recent data relating to annual quit attempts, these rates seem to be stagnating as well, capping out at around 52% or so. With this in mind, we really need to think about ways to promote smoking cessation, ways to increase quit attempts, increase successful cessation, and increase intention to quit. And one realm in which to explore this is in provider offices, both dentists and medical providers. What we know is that, you know, over 60% of adults report visiting a dentist in the past year. The rates are much higher for primary care settings. Over 80% of adults visited a primary care provider in the last year. Of note, relative to physicians, dentists have historically felt less comfortable tackling smoking cessation, and you see this in the data. While between 50 to 65% of smokers are advised to quit by their physician, only 10 to 30% of smokers are advised to quit by a dentist. With this in mind, we had three learning objectives associated with this project. First, we sought to evaluate the role of medical and dental visits in shaping smoking cessation behaviors. And in particular, we were interested in the protective factors associated with the overall medical and dental visits. Second, we thought, wanted to investigate the gap between the desire to quit smoking and successful cessation. And in doing so, we hoped to identify potential factors that might help bridge this gap. We draw our data from the tobacco use supplement to the current population survey, and we pooled the 2006, 2007, and 2010, 2011 waves. The data are nationally representative of US adults, and they're very, very rich. It has a lot of information on smoking history, consumption patterns, quitting behaviors, other tobacco use, and a variety of other valuable and interesting information. We identified three dependent variables for this analysis that really span the spectrum of the cessation process. Our first was any annual quit attempts, a binary indicator equal to one if an individual reported having any quit attempts in the last year. Our second was successful cessation for at least 6 months. And again, this is a binary indicator equal to one if someone reports having quit smoking for at least 6 months. The denominator for both these variables comprises recent active smokers. Recent active smokers meaning current smokers, both someday and everyday smokers, as well as former smokers who quit within the last year. Finally, our last dependent variable is intention to quit smoking in the next 6 months, and the denominator for this variable comprises all current smokers. We control for a spectrum of explanatory variables. We measure medical visits with a binary indicator of whether or not an individual reports visiting a medical doctor in the past 12 months. We create a similar measure for dentist visits, whether or not an individual reports visiting a dentist in the past 12 months. We control for usual cigarette type. Do you usually smoke menthol, non-menthol, or no usual brands? Our proxy for nicotine dependence is whether or not you smoke 30 minutes within waking. And again, this is broken down into three variables, yes, no, and no usual pattern. We control for cigarette price. The economic literature here tells us that this is really important to control for. And we finally control for a variety of socio-demographic characteristics. Let's think about how we arrived at our final sample population. We started with all self-respondents, age 18 and older, from the pooled 2006, 2007, 2010, 2011 waves of the TUS. From there, we eliminated everyone who wasn't a recent active smoker, And then from this pool of recent active smokers, we excluded anyone who did not have complete information for our dependent variables and outcomes of interest, resulting in a final sample size of 54,000 or so. Our analyses were conducted in Stata, and of course we accounted for the replicate weights and weighting procedures outlined in the TUS. We ran two stages of empirical analysis. First, we started with a bivariate analysis chi-square test to assess whether there's any significant differences in covariates between those who visited a dentist or a physician and those who didn't. We then ran a series of multivariate logistic regressions for each dependent variable. Looking at our data, clearly more individuals visit a physician than a dentist. Around 65% visited a physician, and 40% or so visited a dentist. These rates are lower than what one might expect in a general population, and certainly lower than one might expect in a non-smoking population. Figure 2 presents the prevalence of dentist and doctor's visits by gender. Chi-square tests indicate that this difference and the differences presented in the remaining figures are significant. We do see that women are more likely to visit a dentist and more likely to visit a physician compared to their male counterparts. We also observe differences in provider visits by race and ethnicity. On the whole, non-Hispanic whites are more likely to visit a dentist or a physician, and Hispanics are least likely to visit a dentist or a physician. Looking at the prevalence of smoking cessation by physician visits, we see something really, really interesting. Any quit attempts and intention to quit is highest among those who visit a physician. That said, the rate of smoking cessation is actually higher among those who didn't visit a physician, 4% to 5%. Something we'll explore more in a second. The prevalence of smoking cessation by dental visits shows a similar pattern. People who visited a dentist were more likely to have any quit attempts, successful cessation, and intention to quit. Similar to behaviors related to visiting providers, we noticed differences in smoking cessation by our socio-demographic characteristics. Women compared to men are more likely to have a quit attempt, more likely to successfully succeed in quitting, and intend to quit. Similarly, by race and ethnicity, we notice similar differences. And these differences really mirror what we see in the literature. For instance, non-Hispanic African Americans are more likely to have any quit attempts and more likely to intend to quit relative to their non-Hispanic white counterparts. That said, non-Hispanic African Americans actually experience a lower rate of successful cessation compared to non-Hispanic whites. Here are I pulled out some of the results from our logistic regression, and I'm presenting the adjusted odd ratios from the multivariate logistic regressions for the medical doctor and dentist visit indicators. Let's start with any annual quit attempts, and I think this result is pretty interesting. Both results are greater than one, suggesting that the association is positive. But if you were to actually look at the confidence intervals and the actual magnitude of the adjusted odd ratios itself, it's pretty similar, identical, which is saying that in terms of any annual quit attempts, medical doctors and dentists potentially have similar impacts in promoting that cessation outcome. Looking at intention to quit, again, we notice a positive association. Those who visiting a medical doctor or visiting a dentist is positively associating with intending to quit in the next 6 months. While the magnitude isn't identical, as we saw in the any annual quit attempt analysis, it's fairly close, which again is an interesting result. Finally, if we were to look at successful cessation for at least 6 months, we see a bit of nuance. We see a wrinkle here. The adjusted odds ratio for dentists is greater than one, suggesting that the relationship is positive, but it's not significant. If you were to look at visiting a medical doctor, the odds ratio is less than one, 0.67, and it's significant. suggesting that visiting a medical doctor is negatively associated with successful cessation. So what does this all mean? Visiting a dentist and visiting a physician are positively associated with any annual quit attempts and intention to quit. Both of these represent essential stepping stones towards successful cessation and really emphasizes the importance of both dentist and provider's role, dentist and physician's role in really motivating these outcomes. The path to successful cessation appears to be more nuanced. We see no evidence of an intention or of an association with dental visits. When we look at physician visits, we actually see a negative association, which leads one to ask why. It could be that smokers who visit physicians may be sicker or more addicted, so they're trying to quit, they want to quit, they just can't quit. It also could be that smokers who visit a physician on the whole engage in more healthy behaviors, or less frequent smokers and less strongly feel the need to quit. Regardless, that's something to explore more. Something else worth noting here is that some literature suggests that given that only 1 in 10 smokers are advised to quit by their dentist, and only 1 in 2 smokers are advised to quit by their physician, these results potentially, definitely, underestimate the potential impact these providers can have in motivating successful cessation. Some important policy implications emerge from this work. Certainly more support is needed to help dentists and physicians promote successful cessation in their practices. This data really highlights the gap between quit attempts, intention to quit, and that realized cessation. And we need to think about ways to bridge it. In doing so, we might consider some more provider and patient-centered research to understand the needs, the unique needs in each setting. Certainly messaging needs to be distinct within and across practices. And I also think along these lines, stratified analyses targeting specific subgroups could enhance the value of these findings in developing effective policy. Think back to the figures I presented relating to gender and race and ethnicity. We learned that there are huge differences in the way these groups approach visiting a provider, approach smoking cessation. And we can really, you know, harness those differences to promote tailored policy that's effective. It would be naive to think that these differences didn't also exist for age, income level, perceived health status, a whole cadre of other outcomes. So with that in mind, thank you. And are there any questions?
Go ahead.
By any chance, length of visits, was that considered?
That's a really good question. And so with anything, there's a trade-off between depth and breadth. And we use a huge data set. And so we have a lot of information, but it doesn't have as much information as we would like on provider visits. The other thing that it doesn't have, which I wish it did, is under the Affordable Care Act, you know, people are not just going and seeing a doctor. They're not just going and seeing a dentist. They're seeing a whole, you know, slew of different providers, nurse practitioners, you know, PAs, and it would be great to have information on that as well. But that's not something that's provided in TUS.
So my understanding is it does not include the specific type of medical provider.
Mm-hmm.
It was just binary.
Yeah, so did you visit a medical doctor? Did you visit a dentist? And then there was a follow-up questions about how you were advised to quit. That said, you know, when we were talking, we really wanted to focus just on visiting a medical doctor, visiting a dentist, because if you think about what goes on in a given visit, it's a really kind of nebulous process. And there's so much that, you know, happens in a doctor's visit or a dentist's visit that's hard to quantify. And so by just focusing on the visit itself, you can kind of capture the observable and unobservable kind of protective factors associated with visiting a provider.
Go ahead.
Just a question. So are they going to the dentist and the doctor specifically for that reason?
No, we don't know that. We know that if they've tried to quit in the last year, like quit, stop smoking for one day or longer because they were trying to quit, we know if they had visited a provider, but we don't know why they visited a provider. And again, I think given that, you know, even it, that would be hard to capture fully. Even if I was to create a survey now, you know, there might be a lot of things. I know when I go visit my provider, there, it's not just one thing. I have a laundry list of X, Y, Z. And so that's why we try to keep it simple. But that's a very good question.
Hi. In terms of your learning process and determining solutions, did you think about any other solutions as it relates to technology and how we can interface with the engagement with the provider, like tobacco cessation? Kind of robust mobile application?
Yeah, I was reading a lot of literature as I was putting this together, and one piece that really stuck with me was a paper talking about that technology in dental settings, and that it really helps enhance smoking cessation within that population. The hurdle there, as I remember it, was actually getting dentists to get on board with using the technology. But absolutely, I think that technology can not only be used to promote smoking cessation, but like as I was talking about, the needs vary across the patient base, and maybe that type of technology can help create a more catered approach to smoking cessation. Thank you.
So I have a question. I think it's wonderful that you have data on both dentists and medical providers. It's really great. Have you thought about combining your data so that you can look at people who went to both the dentist and the doctor, those who went to neither, those who went to the doctor only, or those who went to the dentist only, so that you could really look at the patterns of practice and how that affects cessation?
Yes, I actually have that data, and it's interesting because I think that when we get to the point of are you visiting, you know, the doctor because you're less healthy, that you're more addicted, you're more dependent on tobacco, or is it because you're, you know, healthier and you feel less strongly the need to quit? I think this idea of approach to healthy behaviors by visiting both a doctor and a dentist might capture that to some extent. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is something that you know, is definitely on the horizon, and you know, I've looked at a little bit already.
Because that could be the reason you're not seeing robust differences in your confidence and in your estimates.
True.
They're the same people.
They are. But I think it's interesting though to think about, you know, where are the places? Because I think traditionally in our model, we would think that the medical doctor has the strongest impact, you know, on on promoting smoking cessation. But are there places where dentists can be just as strong or stronger? And I think it's worth exploring that as well.
Okay. We are out of time.
Thank you.
And so perfect timing.
Thank you.